Lesson 40. Hoax. Students specialize in a particular type of practical joke, the hoax. The bomb threat turned out to be a hoax. I can see through whatever hoax he chooses to stage. Deception. Inviting the fire brigade to put out a non-existent fire is a crude form of deception which no self-respecting student would ever indulge in. All warfare is based on deception, wrote the Chinese analyst Sun Chu around 500 BC. The company spread false information as a deception to mislead investors. Self-respecting. No self-respecting actor would appear in a pornographic film. No self-respecting gourmet would go to a fast food restaurant. Indulge. Bozo indulged in the most high-flown speculations. Pneumatic. When a student recently saw two workmen using a pneumatic drill outside his university, he immediately telephoned the police and informed them that two students dressed up as workmen were tearing up the road with a pneumatic drill. The pneumatic boat can hold five people at the very most. Stillwell promised his brother a pneumatic gun on his birthday. Drill. The prisoner turned his toothbrush into a convenient drill. Silly. He added that a student had dressed up as a policeman and was playing all sorts of silly jokes on people. Never have I heard such a silly story. In truth, such criticism is often silly. Advance. Both the police and the workmen were grateful to the student for this piece of advance information. It is a popular show, so advance booking is essential. We sent advance copies of the new book to all the papers. Archway. The student hid in an archway nearby where he could watch and hear everything that went on. The visitors walked under the archway and into the palace. The old man stumbled near the archway. Remonstrate. Shortly afterwards, four more policemen arrived and remonstrated with the workman. She opened her mouth as if to remonstrate. Mrs. Percy had remonstrated with him about it. Ironically. At this, the police pointed out ironically that this would hardly be necessary as the men were already under arrest. My son knows how to waste his time without any help from you, said Mr. Nye ironically. Irony is not necessarily said ironically. Permission. Permission was granted and a policeman accompanied him to a payphone. He asked permission of the monitor to leave. Joe took the document without permission. Grant. There shall be no peace until you grant the terms. A good government, in his opinion, will grant freedom of speech to its citizens and will not attempt to control their opinions and thoughts. Lesson 41. Illusion. Even he still lives under the illusion that country life is somehow superior to town life. This time his illusion was quite gone. I suppose it's about time you cast away your illusions. Pastoral. This idyllic pastoral scene is only part of the picture. This is a collection of pastoral poems. Breed. City-born and city-bred, I have always regarded the country as something you look at through a train window or something you occasionally visit during the holidays. He had much difficulty in breeding tropical plants in his garden. What's bred in the bone will come out in the flesh. Rapture. Most of my friends live in the country. Yet they always go into raptures at the mere mention of the country. I have read the story of the stone 1,000 times, every time with new raptures. The young folks were in raptures. Extol. Though they extol the virtues of the peaceful life, only one of them has ever gone to live in the country, and he was back in town within 6 months. It is the humour of many people to extol the virtues of their forefathers. Superior. In devotion, woman is sublimely superior to man. Cockcrow. Nothing can be compared, he maintains, with the first cockcrow, the twittering of birds at dawn, or the sight of the rising sun glinting on the trees and pastures. He mistook the cockcrow for birdsong. The alarm sounds like the cockcrow. Twitter. The birds were hopping and twittering among the bushes. Glint. The tall Gothic windows glinted in the sinking sun. Leo's eyes glinted with delight. Pasture. The people lead a quiet life among the green pastures and the still waters. Idyllic. This idyllic pastoral scene is only part of the picture. He placed the characters of his novel in an idyllic valley. Virtually. My friend fails to mention the long and friendless winter evenings in front of the TV, virtually the only form of entertainment. He did virtually a little of everything during that time. These two theories described virtually all physical phenomena that had been studied then. Dubious. While people are prepared to tolerate a 4-hour journey each day for the dubious privilege of living in the country is beyond me. The police raided the club and arrested several dubious characters. The savings advertising delivers to consumers are similarly dubious. Misery. They could be saved so much misery and expense if they chose to live in the city where they rightly belong. His death puts an end to her misery. Acquaintance. Some of my acquaintances in the country come up to town once or twice a year to visit the theatre as a special treat. I met an old acquaintance quite unexpectedly in a fast food restaurant. Treat. He never took more than 2 slices of bread and butter to eat in the pit. So an apple or an orange was a treat to him. I would let the clever ones learn Latin as an honour and Greek as a treat. Dweller. The city dwellers never experience anxieties of this sort. Both city and town dwellers should pay tax. Cave dwellers live mainly on berries. Stagger. Country people run wild when they go shopping in the city and stagger home loaded with as many of the exotic items as they can carry. The drunkard staggered on. Exotic. Most of us will never experience that exotic pleasure. Glow. There is something comforting about the warm glow shed by advertisements on cold, wet winter nights. In the dark, he saw a wonderful yellowish-green glow. Descend. Few things could be more impressive than the peace that descends on deserted city streets at weekends, when the thousands that travel to work every day are tucked away in their homes in the country. Independence has descended like a hurricane on the unprepared country. Something frightful was about to descend on him. Tuck. Our house is tucked away among the trees. Obstinately. It has always been a mystery to me why city dwellers who appreciate all these things obstinately pretend that they would prefer to live in the country. He obstinately believed somehow he could make things right. Obstinately, he clung to his choice. Lesson 42. Caveman. Modern caveman. The bones of a caveman were discovered in this very cave. Boxing can only be discussed in the context of a caveman sport. Potholing. Cave exploration, or potholing, as it has come to be known, is a relatively new sport. He recently took an interest in potholing. If you have any difficulty, go to my friends in the potholing club. Solitude. Perhaps it is the desire for solitude, or the chance of making an unexpected discovery, that lures people down to the depths of the earth. I often have the curious feeling of solitude and multitude. The solitude of the sea made him keenly sensitive to every sight, sound, and touch. Lure. Lure. Peter was lured into playing billiards with a fellow soldier. The thief lured him to the doorway and his accomplice hit him on the head. Potholer. It is impossible to give a satisfactory explanation for a potholer's motives. Do you happen to know any first-class potholers? Curiosity alone cannot make a potholer. Rambler. Exploring really deep caves is not a task for the Sunday afternoon rambler. Few people can afford to be ramblers. Yo-Yo loves ramblers, himself being one of the chiefest. Undertaking. Such undertakings require the precise planning and foresight of military operations. Myrtle is not one to waste time in any undertaking. This is a difficult but glorious undertaking. Foresight. Fortunately, we had the foresight to bring some canned food. Bright is always boasting about his foresight. There he goes again. Foretell, foretold, foretold. Precautions of this sort are necessary, for it is impossible to foretell the exact nature of the difficulties which will confront the potholer. The religious leader foretold the arrival of an age of peace. Is life still worth living if everything can be foretold? Grenoble. The deepest known cave in the world is the Gouffre Bera near Grenoble. Chasm. This immense chasm has been formed by an underground stream which has tunneled a course through a flaw in the rocks. A great chasm appeared on the ground after the earthquake. The couple failed to bridge the chasm between them. Flaw. There was a flaw in his argument. This type of success was almost without flaw, as he saw it. Distinguished. The cave might never have been discovered had not the entrance been spotted by the distinguished French potholer, Berger. These distinguished individuals came and went, singly as a rule. Everest. Since its discovery, it has become a sort of potholer's Everest. Kormolangma, whose European name is Everest, is the highest point on the earth. Kormolangma, Everest, was first conquered in 1953. Wade. They had to edge their way along this, sometimes wading across the shallow streams or swimming across deep pools. I'm not going to wade in such weather. The dusk fell before we waded ashore. Waterfall. Suddenly they came to a waterfall, which dropped into an underground lake at the bottom of the cave. Niagara Falls is a huge waterfall that lies on the Niagara River. Gear. They plunged into the lake, and after loading their gear on an inflatable rubber dinghy, let the current carry them to the other side. The campers kept all their gear in foot lockers. They loaded their gear into the van. Inflatable. Inflatable raft. Inflatable life jacket. Rubble. At the far end of the lake, they came to huge piles of rubble, which had been washed up by the water. The little statue was made of rubble. The city had been turned into rubble in the raid. Insistent. In this part of the cave, they could hear an insistent booming sound, which they found was caused by a small waterspout shooting down into a pool from the roof of the cave. The insistent flowing of the fountain seemed to be the symbol of the passing of time. The baby's insistent cries almost broke his heart. Boom. The thunder boomed. Waterspout. The word waterspout often refers to the tornado that occurs over a water surface. a colourful water spout shot from the mouth of the electronic dragon, and the children clapped. Cleft. Squeezing through a cleft in the rocks, the potholers arrived at an enormous cavern the size of a huge concert hall. In the cleft of a great oak tree, he saw the piece of white gold that he was seeking. Cavern. We stood in the cavern and shone a flashlight on its high ceiling. Stalagmite. After switching on powerful arc lights, they saw great stalagmites, some of them over 40 feet high, rising up like tree trunks to meet the stalactites suspended from the roof. A stalagmite appears like an inverted stalactite rising from the floor of a cavern. Stalactite. Not every stalactite has a complementary stalagmite. Limestone. Round about, piles of limestone glistened in all the colours of the rainbow. There are four principal types of limestone. Glisten. After a moment, she looked up with a slow smile, her eyes glistening with tears. Eerie. In the eerie silence of the cavern, the only sound that could be heard was made by water which dripped continuously from the high dome above them. That old house is an eerie place even in the day. Dome. The dome on the concert hall is painted golden.